So over the weekend, I watched a movie called Inception with my mom. And I was drawn in by the concept of time. Time manipulation through the subconscious dream world. Do any of you remember this Leonardo DiCaprio movie from 2010, Inception? It was about the ability to alter dream states while affecting real time realities and blur the lines of time. Leonardo said in the movie, 5 minutes in a dream feels like an hour in real time. Ah, if that were applicable to our own lived realities, wouldn't it be cool to jump into an alternate reality to elongate our sense of time? Darn it. 24 hours, no matter how many more we may wish for, is our daily allotment. Our Lenten theme has been focused on making room and time for God within our 24 hours. We're going to look at a story in Luke that helps us consider ways of doing just that. During this month's sermons honoring Women's History Month, Sarah brought in the names of the women who were instrumental in establishing the early church, aiding us in paying homage to certain women. Our scripture this morning is about the certain women named Martha and Mary. Surprise! Sisters who took two different approaches to hospitality. They hosted Jesus and the disciples, our scriptures for this morning. Mary has always been lifted up as the one who took the right approach. Let's investigate this thing. I contend both women are doing something valuable, but we need to consider the order in which their actions are lived out. I believe that order matters. Our scripture today comes from Luke 10, 38 through 42. The English Standard Version. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with so much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. The word of God for the people of God. Notice, Jesus did not admonish Martha for her order and methodology. He lovingly said, Mary is doing one thing that is necessary, that will never leave her. Making time for the Logos, the Word made flesh. Jesus did not rebuke or lash out at her. We know when Jesus is upset, he is not shy about telling folks about themselves. What if the lesson here is to be gentle with yourself? Maybe it's a gentle nudge to say, hey, start your day or your tasks with me, and you can roll out stress-free. Many engage this text hanging on to the idea that Martha, in her stress, did something horribly wrong. What if we approach the scripture as if both Mary and Martha represent parts of our 24-hour day? Let us consider then that they are both valid and both necessary. What if it's just the order that we engage what they represent that counts? Say it's the order that counts.
If
Martha represents our service, and Mary represents the necessity of spending time with God, aren't we called to do both and? Last week in Pastor Julian's email blast on tending to Kairos, he elucidated an understanding of time that helps me clarify this passage. Kairos means opportune time, the right time. Or to paraphrase Dr. Richard Swenson, Kairos is significant or meaningful time. He goes on to say the challenge for each of us is that we spend most of our lives bound in Chronos, with rare brushes against Kairos, where this breath of our life can be spent on meaningful questions lying deep within us, instead of on our phones or responding to something or just playing catch up. Mary was tending to Kairos at Jesus' feet, spending meaningful time with God, which sets us up for success. If we follow the order of putting God first, say there's an order to this thing. Martha's work in the hospitality of serving is translated from the Greek word diakona. Wait, I got that all wrong. Say it again. Diakonia, that's it. I had it right before this morning. Which does not specify domestic service, but designates a commissioned spokesperson or agent, a go-between who ministers on behalf of God. This word shows up 32 times in the New Testament. It is translated as ministry, service, relief, and support. Paul uses the term to refer to his ministry among the Gentiles in Acts 21:19, and in Romans 12:16-17. It is referred to as a spiritual gift, the gift of serving. The word deacon springs forth from the word diakonos, which means servant, and signifies church service. Martha isn't just distracted with food prep for food service. She is participating in ministry, y'all.
Right.
It was her house.
Right.
She invited Jesus into her house, pushing gender norms. But that's for another sermon. Wow. Jesus radicalizes, as he always did, the equalization of women. In this scripture, he is equalizing the education of women and the ordination of women. Mary was pushing gender norms by sitting with men, listening to his teaching. This is what women in the academy and seminary looked like in the first century. Jesus opened the doors to the academy before the women's rights activists had to fight for inclusion and before the feminists and womenists had to demand their place at the academic table. We think of Mary and Martha as metaphors for parts of our day. We can order our parts and participate in Kairos, significant or meaningful time, before we go off to serve in the activity of our lives. This is necessary. Necessary time that sets us up for success and alleviates our anxiety. Say there's an order to this thing. It's the order that we engage these parts that affect the outcome. It's the order that we engage these parts that affects the outcome. I have to marry before I can effectively Martha. I have to spend time with God, Mary, before I can serve Martha. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Martha was right to tell her problems to Jesus. It brought her some peace from her anxiety. I don't know if any of you have ever worked somewhere where the energy was whack and the anxiety was high. Anybody? I didn't think that was just me. Some years ago, I had a job that was a wilderness experience. Minister Antonia reminded us that we can worship in the wilderness and expect God to show up. That's what I did. I worked for a company that had multiple outlets, administrative, service outlets, and more. I worked in an administrative department and realized that I could make more money if I transferred to one of the service outlets. I became a server in the main restaurant. I had worked for this company for several years before I made this change. Many of the clients knew me. Some of those clients followed me into the restaurant as customers. In theory, this was a good move. I had full benefits as a server. And if servers made under 20% in gratuities on our tables, the company gave us the difference. Gave it to us, right? It was a win-win for a divorced mother of two. But I didn't know I was walking into a snake pit. Some of the other people who worked at the restaurant had been there for years and years. Well, they were biding their Kronos time, and they were very territorial. They did not appreciate new servers joining the team. From their perspective, more servers meant less money for them. Suffice it to say, they were inhospitable when I joined their team. I knew in order to make it and be joyous in my spirit, I had to spend time with Jesus. I had to know Jesus was with me. I had to get my mind right. So I started every day with God. I read 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That was my mantra. The word told me to love my neighbor as myself. I began to look upon everyone as a child of God. When I did, something clicked for me. I was able to turn the other cheek and show people the ludicrousity of their transgressions. Yeah, I made that one up. I was able to smile in the faces of adversity. I showed up every day with a smile on my face and a song in my spirit. I would literally just start dancing in the kitchen to the music that was in my head, just to bring joy to myself in the midst of adversity. Right? One day I overheard one of my coworkers complaining. She was stiffed on a gratuity. We will call her Betty. I was confused because we were never really stiffed. We were guaranteed our 20%. By the company. I approached her and said, "Why don't you just say thank you for the contribution to the whole?" She followed my advice, and 10 minutes later, the guest called back and said she noticed she left without paying her gratuity. And she added a nice tip to her check, more than 20%. Betty was astonished. She wanted to align her attitude with mine. I told her it's a God thing. She became my work BFF, okay? A few days later, it was time for an annual event that the seasoned servers hated. It was mandatory that all servers work this event. They hated this event because it required physically moving most of the restaurant supplies to the roof on very slow elevators to set up for and work a party with a low gratuity for half the day. I told my coworker I was looking forward to the party, and I expected to have a great time. She watched my experience closely. She watched me. In every aspect of my experience that day, it seemed as though my steps were ordered. When it was time to start the move, I was the last server with customers in my section for lunch. Darn, I had to wait. Once my customers closed their check, I had to settle my sales with a manager. Darn, there was no manager around. I was asked to take lunch before I started helping because there would be no real break after the event was set up. Darn, I had to go eat. I grabbed a quick bite. When I was ready to help, everything was already moved. Management assigned each server tasks for the party. Some were quite labor intensive. I was assigned to sit down and sell drink tickets. I sat on my perch with my sunglasses on, hanging out with the guests, laughing and talking and selling tickets, having myself a grand time. At the end of the night, when it was time to carry all the things back downstairs, I was asked to sit still and wait until a manager came to count and collect the money that I collected. Darn. By the time I was released to help the rest of the staff, there were only a few pillows to take downstairs. I didn't just talk to God to start my day. I talked to God at the start of most tasks and throughout my day. I have many restaurant stories, but I won't hold you all day. It is March Madness. Suffice it to say, when we make time for God, we show up in the world better. When we make time for God, we can dance in the face of adversity. When we make time for God, we can let go of our anxiety and anxious thoughts, Martha. When we make time for God, we are grateful for the contributions towards the whole. When we make time for God, our work seems effortless. When we make time for God, our work is more like vacations rather than lamentations. When we make time for God, we understand that there is an order to this thing called life. When we make time for God, God orders our steps. Think about the ways in which in your 24 hours, you might reorder your time just a wee bit to make time for God. Before you start your day, before a task, God is with us all the time. You don't have to go someplace or do something special. Just be in conversation.